Hello, I'm Dion Williams, President and CEO of Piedmont Advantage Credit Union. Join me on Wisdom Wednesday for headlines and fine print from 9 to 10 a.m. Headlines can be misleading. The details are in the fine print. We'll explore current events and the financial landscape to equip you to better navigate the choices in products and services that meet your financial needs. Let's cut through the noise in ads and promotions to prepare you to take flight on your financial journey.
It is time for headlines and fine print. Dion Williams, President and CEO of Piedmont Advantage Credit Union in the studio. Hey, Dion, how are you?
Doing well, Jeffrey. Good to see you. It's been a couple weeks.
It has, and delighted to have y'all back. And so, headlines and fine print. Really, the goal here is that Dion's going to share some insider perspective on the latest headlines in financial services, both the good, the bad, and even once in a while, maybe the ugly, and listeners can make sense of developments and opportunities, and we can help give you the knowledge to ask the right questions when you're reading the fine print about various financial services. And Dion, before we move on to the calendar and the slate of content for today, let's just step back and review our last conversation. So it is, you know, there's things are always changing. And you've always got to have, it's got to be a fluid situation, right, where you can adjust. And in terms of legislation and putting the parameters in place to be sure that credit unions are acting in a responsible manner, that's some of your work that you continue to deal with day in and day out.
Absolutely. And in our first show, we talked about the contrast between banks and credit unions.
Right.
And then our second show, we kind of transitioned that to, there's things in which we're different, but there's also areas in which we're alike. And in terms of something we have in common, that would be pursuing a national data standard for the retailers and the merchants out there, because the financial institutions are held to a very high standard for how we safeguard member data. But on the retail merchant side, we wish that there were similar safeguards, because when there's a data breach and something happens, we always make the consumer right, but then we have to go back on the backside and try to collect that. And we just like to see some consistency across the board in how those data standards apply.
Because you taught us last time that really the financial institution is ultimately bears the brunt of that fiscal responsibility to make it right.
That's right, because when our member calls us and something's happened with their debit card or their account, they trust us as their financial advisor for life, and we want to make sure that we take care of them, because that's their hard-earned money that's in that account, or that's the credit card that they may need that credit limit for something for their own purposes, not that somebody is had fraud on their account,
right,
and they're using it for their purposes. So we want to make sure we make the member right, make the member whole, and then we'll do some of the dirty work on the back end behind the scenes, just making sure the member's taken care of up front.
And part of that concern is that while Piedmont Advantage Credit Union certainly has guidelines and procedures and policies in place to safeguard a customer's financial information, but you have no control over how a retail merchant might facilitate the use of that information, right?
That's right, because we can't tell our members where to shop. Of course, that's their choice. Shop where you want. But when they go and swipe that card or they put that card number in on the internet, we have no control over that. Basically, we're facilitating the transaction. But once that transaction happens, if that data falls into the wrong hands, we just want to make sure the member's protected. And we want to do everything we can to protect the member. For example, on the app, you can, if you turn your card on or off, or do location alerts if you're going to be out of town. So there's some things that they can do to help the financial institution safeguard their information.
And then just a little bit of preparation and forethought can eliminate some problems before they even develop.
That's right. You can be your best self-advocate by checking your credit report periodically, by looking at your transactions, looking at your statements. And I'm a person that doesn't look at statements anymore, because I look at those transactions on my mobile app.
Sure.
I do those things real time. So you don't have to wait till the end of the month to
get a
statement. So if you're just diligent in looking at your transactions, looking at your credit report, you can pick up on your own if something's going on. But a lot of times when there is a data breach, North Carolina law, for example, is just that there's notification.
Right.
So with the notification, if a merchant or a retailer is aware of a breach, they're going to let you know, but that's not enough.
Isn't it just part of being fiscally responsible that you would look at your accounts? Do you see any charges that, I didn't go to that. I didn't spend $700 at that store last week. And it seems to me that'd be a pretty simple and obvious way to stay connected with your money.
Absolutely. And you can even set up alerts that if your balance goes below a certain amount, and there's just some things you can do to remind yourself and check on yourself. Just if something doesn't look right, then go a little deeper.
Yeah, we have those alerts on credit cards. So if there's something that exceeds the limit that we've established, you get the notification on your phone. And sometimes it can be as quick as a text message between family members. Did you just get something?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that saves. Right. Do you ever get those phone calls at the credit union where you go, well, when did you find out about this? And it comes out in conversation. I never look at my statement.
Yes.
You go, let me encourage you to do that. I mean, that would be a big thing. And look at your statement and stay connected so you know what's normal and what might be peculiar in your financial matters. Today, we're going to talk about building an emergency savings fund. Oh, really? This is another one that just seems so obvious, Dion. It's one of those things we got to do, right?
Absolutely. And it's Murphy's Law. You know things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And just a matter of when. The past 30 days, I have been living it. This morning, I discovered that I'm going to have my septic tank pumped. I was downstairs in the basement and realized that there was it's time to get that pumped.
Yeah, it's time to get it done.
Before it gets really expensive. And then I've also had the air conditioning go out in my car, the air conditioning have a problem at the house, water heater had a small gas leak, the cats had numerous visits to the vet. So it's been one of those months where that emergency fund has taken a beating.
And if you don't have it, then really, I mean, what do you do?
Well, for a lot of folks, that emergency fund, when they don't have it, is going to be a credit card or a loan. But here's the thing. When something's not going on, if you're setting aside $100 a month or whatever it may be into that emergency fund and something happens, you pay yourself back. But if you do the credit card, then you're paying the credit card plus interest. And if you've been paying attention to what's happening with interest rates over the past few months, they're going up. And so that could get really expensive.
It always makes more sense to pay yourself.
It does. And I always tell folks that you don't wake up in the morning and say, I've got $1,000 in this emergency savings account or this rainy day fund. Whatever you have is better than nothing.
Oh, that's right. Because it'll grow.
Yes.
As long as you're faithful and consistent, that number will inevitably trend upward, right?
Definitely. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So if you have $200, your emergency may only be $50. Your emergency could be $1,000. But I would rather have the $200 I have saved rather than having to finance or borrow the whole thing.
That's right. It's $200 less than you'd have to borrow elsewhere. Dion Williams, President and CEO of Piedmont Advantage Credit Union. Your credit union career got underway when you were still in college. So talk us, you know, share the story with us, the progression from the early days to where you are now.
Okay. It's funny because I don't believe that the job description even exists for my first job in a credit union. My title was peak time ATM custodian, and now that's a job that doesn't exist really for a staff member because that's outsourced to a security firm.
Okay.
I would come in after lunch, and I would go to the ATMs with another branch employee, usually a teller member service rep, and we would load money into the ATMs. We would take deposits out, come back and balance them. But that's something, again, now that's outsourced because of safety concerns. But that's what I did in college for, for help pay for my expenses there. And it's really where I knew that credit unions were where I wanted to be because I heard about members and I saw the interactions and just everything that goes on with how the member owners of the credit union really take pride. It's not a banking relationship. They really take pride in ownership of the credit union. So after I was a peak time ATM custodian, graduated from college, became a loan officer trainee, and I got experience, on the teller line and member service, loan officer. When I was 23, I was a branch manager. Actually, opened up the Moxville branch of State Employees Credit Union long, long time ago, and moved on to administration. I just really, in my credit union career, I loved working with the members, and I wanted to take that next step to learn more what happens behind the scenes.
Right.
So I went to administration. I got some experience in that side of it. And then the last 15 years, I've been a CEO.
We're going to talk more about this, but for Piedmont Advantage Credit Union, this is for folks who live, work, attend school, operate a business in the one of six counties, Davie, Forsyth, of course, Moxville. We have good vibes about our friends in Moxville. Davie County, Forsyth County, Guilford, Iredell, Mecklenburg, and Rockingham County. So all those folks, if you do anything really in those counties, you're eligible to become one of the member owners at Piedmont Advantage Credit Union.
Live, work, worship, go to school, all of the above. You can be a member of Piedmont Advantage.
We'll find out more about Dion Williams' journey at 9:14. News Talk Sports for the Triad, WSJS.
Headlines and the Fine Print with host Dion Williams, president and CEO of Piedmont Advantage Credit Union. This is a program that will help you ask all the right questions and learn more about the best financial products and services for you and your family. Monthly, Dion will help listeners navigate headlines and the fine print and make sense of the financial service promises and offerings. Headlines and the Fine Print with Dion Williams from Piedmont Advantage Credit Union, only on WSJS.
It's Headlines and Fine Print. Dion Williams, the president and CEO of Piedmont Advantage Credit Union. We are swapping stories about some of those early jobs. So, Dion, what it really comes down to is when you started learning about helping other people with their financial needs and you learn those lessons, then they become applicable in your own life and in your own professional dealings. So, if you were giving advice today, what would it be?
On the career side, I would definitely say find something that you love and you're passionate about. For me, it was at the credit union, it was all about service, and I love that member ownership connection. So serving others, it was my passion, and that remains my passion. As far as the financial side of advice I would give to myself, there's so many things. The first thing, though, would be to build that emergency fund or that rainy day fund, because your emergency when you're in your early or mid-20s is so different than now when I'm pushing 50, that there's just different things that come up. Because with a car, for example, you want to have that car, but then with that car payment, there comes insurance, there comes registration, right? Tag, title.
Tires,
that's right.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
And you talk about what a magic number is for an emergency fund. I know if you have folks that are listening that's Dave Ramsey fans, $1,000 is kind of ingrained in your mind. I don't know if that's right or wrong or if it should be a different number. I think it's unique to the person. But tires can come pretty darn close to $1,000.
Oh, that's right.
In one swoop. So you have to think about the types of emergencies that apply to you. But that's one thing. And also note that your emergency fund is different than your other savings. So, for example, it's different than contributing to your 401k. And that's another one. When you first take that job and you think, well, I want this money to go to the beach. I want this money to get that car, fix it up. Think about saving for retirement. I know it's hard to think when you're 20-some years old about retiring when you're in your 60s. But if you let compound interest and time value of money work for you from your 20s through your 60s, you'll have a nice little nest egg. And it doesn't matter how much you set aside. You don't have to set aside your whole paycheck. Start with something.
Right.
At least do enough to get that company match.
It is like magic fairy dust with compound interest, isn't it?
That's right.
We have that discussion at our house all the time. So your children who are cutting the grass in the neighborhood and babysitting and that kind of stuff. Well, I earned $10. You did. Mm-hmm. I would be much happier if five of that went into your savings account. And that doesn't always go over real well with a very young person. And really, what Dion knows much better than I would know into how to look at that kid and have the conversation of, you know, all I've got really is, can you trust me on this? In 50 years, you're really going to be happy. Daddy, in 50 years, I don't care if I saved half that money, but you will. And it does make a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And if you're talking to a younger person, when you're not quite to the stage of the debit cards or the prepaid cards, you can literally do this with envelopes, and you can have four of them: spend, save, invest, and give. And believe we might have referenced this in our first show, but put the spend envelope at the end. Don't spend first, because that's one of the biggest mistakes. And I know I was guilty of this for many years of if you spend first and save what's left over, there's nothing going to be left over.
That's right.
100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. Dion, it was more than one occasion I went into a CD store and spent 80% of my paycheck in the CD store. And now I go, oh, Jeffrey, I mean, come on, really? You had to know better. So we're talking about the Emergency Savings Fund, and at Piedmont Advantage, you have a Personal Select Savings Account, and that's where a member can name that savings account based on their individual financial goals.
That's right. And you can name that emergencies, or one of the ones we see a lot is, oh, no.
Right. You hope you don't need it, but oh, no, here we are. So you do need it, and go ahead, and it's never too early to start.
It's not. And that's the thing. If you're an 18-year-old with a paying job, you can open up a Roth IRA, for example. I mean, that's
right.
That's not an emergency savings fund, but just to kind of give you an example of how early you can start saving. for retirement. But I think it's crucial to have these different accounts. And also, I made a note here as far as Christmas Club and Vacation Club.
Right.
Don't lump those into your emergency savings fund. Those are not emergencies. Those things are every year.
You know they're coming.
Right. You know, those are things we usually plan on every year. So have your Oh No Fund or your emergency savings or your rainy day fund. That's one bucket. But then your Christmas Club is another bucket. And then your Vacation Club is another bucket.
And these different accounts are all available at Piedmont Advantage.
That's right.
So you can go in and very specific, I want to make my withdrawal and I want my deposit in this. A lot of people say, I don't care, just put it in any account.
Yes.
And they've got three or four, but you do need to give some thought to that.
Give it a purpose, and that's the B word that nobody wants to hear, budget.
Right.
It's a really good idea to have a budget because there's no way you can control your spending if you don't know where it's going.
Oh, I that was a hard lesson I had to learn. Being married, and we're going to sit down and make a budget. No, we're not, because I don't want to have that conversation.
Right.
But
right, because that's two people having the conversation. It's hard enough for one.
For one, and then when you have to explain, well, why did you spend some money on this? I don't know, because I'm irresponsible. But it does help you when you identify it and you see it. Then you can act accordingly, and there's a response there of, okay, I'm going to be more responsible. I want to save more and spend less.
That's right, because when you realize some of the things that you can do for yourself, or an example from my 20s, when I started doing dry cleaning, when I was working in the branches, mm-hmm. and you realize, gosh, this is getting expensive on dry cleaning, and then, well, what if I learn how to iron?
And it does, right, because you wear a dress shirt every day.
Right.
So you got 20 shirts... That's $20 into times 12 months. So you got a couple hundred dollars there that you didn't really need to spend. And that could have been growing interest for you the whole time and working for you instead of just spending it.
Right. And then fast forward to where I'm at today. And I have a daughter that's going to be a sophomore in college. And she was telling me, we have streaming services. And I was trying to kind of corral the streaming in my house. At some point, you're doing cheaper by doing the streaming, but then if you add every streaming service in the world, it's not. So I was trying to cut that back, and my daughter pointed out to me that, you know, I can get this particular streaming service for $1.99 a month, whereas we were paying a lot more than $1.99 per month. And it's like, you know what? She was right.
Okay.
Look for those type student discounts and other things that you can take advantage of.
A family effort. We'll save every dollar we can. And this is just a little nugget of joy at Piedmont Advantage. The customers can name their account.
Yes.
Which gives them a vested interest in it rather than just, I got to go put this in savings. No, this is in I'm going to buy a new car account. This is in, we need to have the water heater repaired or replaced account.
Right.
And that's just a thing, an opportunity. They feel connected. There is a sense of ownership. This is why it's relevant to me.
That is a very motivating factor to know, because you've given it that purpose or name. Savings can be very generic, and you can have 100 savings accounts if you want to. But when they all have a name and a purpose, mm-hmm. and that's when the member is going to really start directing that money instead of, I'll save what's left over. Well, I'm going to pay myself for this car, or I know I'm going to need a roof or a water heater or whatever it may be. And you start doing that first and then spending later, then you're really going to be on the right track.
So what exactly, as best you can, because it's such a wide expanse, is an emergency savings fund?
In terms of a definition, is something that's separate from your other savings. It has a distinct purpose. I like the word rainy day. When I talk about the credit union as a whole, we talk about having rainy day funds,
right,
which is during the pandemic. But I think about it as, it's something that you didn't budget for. It's something that's unexpected. It's something that's expensive. If, for example, just, you know, deciding we need to go out and order pizza tonight, or that's not an emergency.
Right.
There's things that that's not an emergency, but when you get a flat tire, that's a true emergency.
So this is not for the dream trip to have a safari.
Correct. It's unexpected expenses. It's not for your college tuition for your kids. Again, that's its own thing.
You know that's coming. This is not for the new car. These are things that just arise in the ordinary course of living that have got to be addressed in a timely fashion, right?
Right. And I would say that you don't want to overload the account either. I wouldn't focus on getting $5,000 or $10,000 in the emergency fund. I think several hundred or a couple thousand dollars is plenty sufficient, because what you don't want to do is spend so much time for preparing for the worst that you forget about the other things that you want to do. So you want to get an amount in there that you're comfortable with, and then beyond that, move on to your other goals, whether that's paying off debt, saving for a car, saving for a house. And we can talk more about the cars later, but that's one of the main things I learned in my younger days is that car payment is absolutely brutal because it's a depreciating asset. And a lot of folks, it's almost like an annuity. You always have it.
Yeah.
But it's a very expensive thing. And if you kind of view cars as transportation and keep those expenses down, I mean, that's $400 or $500 a month for, in a lot of cases, that you can guide towards something else. Because, I mean, if you've got that money free, you can build up an emergency fund in 2 or 3 months easy.
Right. Hey, that's, you're in 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. for most folks. And now, some, of course, even the more expensive vehicles, they'll, with the financing options, it can go on for even longer than that if need be.
It blows me away that you can finance a car some places up to 96 months now. And we don't go that far at Piedmont Advantage because the thing is that's, I mean, in many cases, that's a house. We have a Liberty Loan product, which is an amazing home financing option that goes 10 years or 12 years, and you can have your house paid for free and clear. So if I were going to do something 10 or 12 years, pay off that house, because that's an appreciating asset in most cases, whereas a car is a depreciating. So make that car something you can pay cash for or knock out in 2 or 3 years. And then focus on paying off your house because your home equity is a true asset. That's something you can use in retirement too.
Well, that's I'm gonna notate that. Would you rather have a house or a car?
Right.
Seems like a pretty easy question to answer.
Absolutely.
So, and there are things that'll come up. I mean, we've all been to the garage and you go to the freezer and all of a sudden you take out a Coca-Cola and this was not supposed to be warm. And that means, right. I mean, you've got to go to the appliance store and save what you can out of the freezer. And those things can dent the checking account. And you certainly, if you add that debt onto a credit card, then you pay for it 2 or 3 or 4 times. And it's yes. just so the impact of having the savings fund, and it can help you sleep easier at night.
Definitely. And I'm glad that you mentioned the walk into the garage to get a Coke, because a lot of times if I walk to the garage to get a Coke, I might trip over something because there's so much stuff out there. And that brings me to the point of, if you're looking for a way to prop up that emergency account quickly, have a garage sale.
Oh, and we just did at the Griffin House. We had one about 2 weeks ago. More good stuff coming your way on Headlines and Fine Print. News Talk Sports for the Triad, WSJS.